Oh, yeah, this is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And that's right, we've got the full range of conversations, call it content, this morning. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll this hour. I kid you not. We'll talk about Kid Rock's political ambitions a little later on in the hour. We'll talk about changing marijuana laws in Colorado and Washington. And, well, for that other part, we've got Elmo and the Generals taking care of that for us. But we begin with the chain of command. What is going on in the chain of command? It is rattling this morning. General David Petraeus' affair with his biographer, Paula Broadwell, who sent harassing emails to someone named Jill Kelly and triggered Petraeus' fall as CIA director, that was yesterday. That scandal has now ensnared four-star General John Allen, the commander of forces in Afghanistan, a senior general at Central Command, who had a prolonged and suspicious relationship with this Jill Kelly. Kelly lives in Tampa, Florida, where Central Command is based. The scale of the communications between Allen and Kelly is slightly mind-blowing. Tens of thousands of pages of emails between a commander of forces in Afghanistan and a low-level liaison based in Tampa named Jill. Joining us now is Elizabeth Buemiller, a Pentagon correspondent for our part of the New York Times, traveling with Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. That's where this story broke. And Tom Shanker, a Pentagon and national security correspondent, also for our partner in the New York Times. Elizabeth, where does this stand right now, and how many emails do we think we are talking about here?
All we know is what the defense official told us, which was that there were 20,000 to 30,000 pages of documents related to this investigation, and most of them, he said, were emails between General Allen and Jill Kelly. We know that the email communications ranged from 2010 to 2012. We also know that General Allen began the command in Afghanistan in July of 2011. Before that, he was living in Tampa as the number two at Central Command in charge of American military operations in the Middle East. And that is, of course, where Jill Kelly lives. And she has close ties to the military in Tampa. You know, the Pentagon officials did not tell us what was in the emails, but they said that there was enough in them to warrant further investigation. They were handed over to the general counsel of the Pentagon on Sunday by the FBI, and the general counsel then contacted Leon Panetta, who then determined that there was enough there to warrant an investigation by the inspector general. The president was informed, and he agreed with Mr. Panetta that General Allen's nomination to be the commander of American forces in Europe should be held up.
Talking with Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, Tom Shanker joins us, Pentagon and national security correspondent also for our partner, the New York Times. Tom, can you describe this position as a liaison that Jill Kelly apparently holds and what sort of contact she might theoretically have aside from sexual in the course of a work day with the General Allen and the top commanders at CENTCOM?
Well, her exact status remains unclear, and some have reported it from being semi-official to just that of a community booster. Every military base across the country tries to reach out to community leaders, and they often give them honorary titles of liaison just to bind the military community with the town itself for support. And she and her husband, who I guess is a doctor, appear to fall into that category of semi-official community boosters. At this point, we do not know if she had any sort of real official role other than that of just a community support element.
So she was absolutely not any kind of an individual who you would expect to be sharing that amount of data with a top general at Central Command for any responsible reason.
Well, it's very difficult to understand. I mean, my wife, who's the smartest person in my family, walked out the door this morning saying we probably haven't shared 30,000 pages of email in 26 years of marriage. So I think the volume alone, as you say, raises some, you know, sort of whiskey tango foxtrot questions here.
And simply the amount of time that General Allen was spending doing
this
puts it as suspect, right?
I mean, we were calculating that this would be amount to 30 pages a day over 2 years of email. Now, it's of course, we all know that when you print out emails, there's often just one line on a page, right? And they generate a lot of pages with responses and so forth. But that's still a lot of email in one day for a general who was running the war in Afghanistan. So it's very perplexing. We don't know what's in it. I should also say that General Allen has told Pentagon officials that he believes he has done nothing wrong. And Mr. Panetta has said that he is certainly due process and he will get a hearing. So no one is charging him with anything yet. It's just an investigation, the beginning of an investigation.
Well, my head is spinning, I must say. Tom Shenker, what's the historical context of this kind of behavior and investigations and shakeups as a result of it?
Well, the historic context is, Helen of Troy and Bathsheba and King David.
Oh, my God.
This has been going on for a long time. But just within the past year, we have a piece in the Times this morning that examines the rather remarkable number of senior military leaders who just in the last 12 months have been brought up on financial malfeasance, sexual harassment and infidelity. And as Elizabeth, I'm sure, will verify as well, this is raising concern at the highest levels of the Pentagon. Yes, to be sure, this is a tiny percentage of the overall leadership, but there are so many cases coming so rapidly that top Pentagon military officials are examining whether the culture of leadership has broken or at least fractured after 10 years of war.
Well, let's talk about that culture for a moment. This morning, I was just perusing movie clips of, Byrne after reading and the Charlie Wilson's War, all about kind of very colorful characters in the top levels of command. But in terms of this culture, are we talking about it's such a high-pressure situation at the top in the leadership with these wars over these last 10 years or so? Are we talking about that, or are we talking about it's so insulated and such a bubble that these folks maybe think that they're just infinitely powerful and can do anything?
I will just say, I think we're also talking about adulation of the public and the sense that the military, these military leaders are heroes and can do no wrong and are so celebrated. I think that's part of it. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if I could paraphrase the famous Russian novelist and say that all happy commanders are the same and all tragic ones are different, I mean, it's true. It's partly the stress of war. You can't get away from the fact that these top generals have been away from their family a remarkable amount of time over the past 10 years. It's also, as Elizabeth said, adulation they receive day after day after day. But also, you put your finger on something very, very interesting. The military is beginning to think that it's better and separate. And while the entire nation owes everyone in uniform a huge debt of gratitude, at the same time, you talk to military personnel, and there is a worrisome trend for them to consider themselves separate and different and apart from us. And in that, I think there is a danger that people begin to think that their national sacrifice allows them to avoid some of the rules that apply to the rest of us. And it's that question that senior military and Pentagon officials really want to understand, and they want to do something about that.
That's a great takeaway there. Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our party in the New York Times, and Tom Shenker speaking just there and evoking, let's see if I have the count right, Shakespeare, the Bible, and Tolstoy in one interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tom Shenker, of course, also a Pentagon and national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times.